You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Good morning, Truth Nation. It is 8 a.m. on the dot. Wednesday, November the 20th, coming to you live from the American Family Insurance Studio. Definitely check us out live on YouTube just by simply visiting youtube.com, search for 101.7 The Truth, and definitely make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you never ever miss a live broadcast, or go back and watch your favorite shows. We've got guest co-host Tony Smith in the building. Tony, you good?
Tony had to step out for a second.
Tony had to go call Jimmy Smith. I get it. Because his last name is Smith. Just keep it real, Telly. Tony had to go out there and call Jimmy.
You know, he didn't say what he was doing, but I wouldn't put it past him. Like, it's going down his Rolodex. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of Smiths.
I am not mad at Tony for going to make that call to Jimmy Smith, who won $24.1 million. Now, in the recent episode of the Diddy case, Diddy appeared in court yesterday for a hearing over how prosecutors came to possess his handwritten notes following a search of the jail cell. So according to reports, Diddy walked into the courtroom. He was wearing a loose-fitting jail-issue T-shirt. He hugged his defense lawyer, Mark Angafilo, and he let out a smile before sitting down at the defense table in the U.S. District Judge Arun Subramanian's Manhattan courtroom. Now, during the court session yesterday, lawyers for Combs wrote in a Monday filing that they had notes concerning how Diddy's notes were being treated. And Telly, based on my understanding, the judge that oversaw the court appearance yesterday ruled in Diddy's favor.
Yes, yes. Yes, they did. They said that it was an illegal search of his cell. And I think DT, any victory, Diddy can get now is a plus for him, because he has so many things that look like and appears that that are against him, including five new lawsuits. And then the judge or the prosecution was trying to say that some of these things that he was doing were staged to influence the jury. Like on his birthday, there was this video. Maybe you saw it. I'm sure a lot of people did, where, you know, he was like, his youngest daughter was like, "Happy birthday, Daddy." And he was like, you know, "I love y'all, support y'all." And he had all his kids around, and this video to make
him. I saw that video.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're trying to say that was, you know, something that could influence the jury as well. So for him to get this, you know, it's a small victory, but it's a victory because we don't know what were on those notes. And for the judge to destroy them, yeah.
So as Telly had just mentioned, the judge who is overseeing the case against Sean Diddy Combs has ordered, as of yesterday, federal prosecutors to destroy several pages of Combs' handwritten notes, which they obtained from a raid carried out at the MDC, or the Manhattan Detention Center in Brooklyn, where Combs is being held without bail. Mm-hmm. The judge went on to say, and I quote, "The government should not be in possession of the 19 pages." And this was at the end of an hour-long hearing on Tuesday. So this took place yesterday, and the judge ruled that the government should not be in possession of the 19 pages, which were Combs' handwritten notes. And the judge also made the ruling where Combs flashed a big smile, to your point, Telly. And this was the first time he appeared in court without shackles around his ankles. Now, The defense has sought to have Combs unshackled during his court appearances, and the judge agreed to it. Why do you think the defense fought to have Combs unshackled?
Me personally, I think that that's not the image that you want. And just the same way that Donald Trump never took a mugshot with a jail-issued attire on, because mm-hmm. that's not what you want people to see you as. I mean, if they start to see you shackled and see you as a criminal, then they're going to be like, yeah, he's probably guilty. Look at him. I mean, he seems like he's cool in the position he's in. And image is everything. And so, yeah, that's my – Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's just it's an image thing, you know, because he's still trying to gain some favor in that sense. Like, all right, I know all this stuff is going on, but I don't want to look the part for right now.
Yeah.
So let me try to stay out of that look, because that's going to change public opinion. People just view it, oh, he's all shackled up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I don't know Diddy personally, but just knowing how he, over the recent years prior to his arrest and incarceration, he was very, what we would describe as pro-black. You know, he was making very public and large efforts to donate large amounts of money to HBCUs. You know, on his social media, he was always promoting black wealth, rebuilding the black community, et cetera. So I also, in addition to the image part, I can hear Diddy saying, as a black man, I don't need to be photographed, especially with my kids watching. I don't need to be photographed and perpetuate the image of black men being in shackles. So yeah. I think the image umbrella included Diddy's awareness of what that perpetuates
mm-hmm.
as a black man. And quite frankly, as a darker toned black man.
Yeah.
Those images perpetuate the stereotypes that, you know, black men are thugs, they're criminals, they're slaves.
Yeah. And for him, you know, it's a small victory for some, but that's a big victory for, you know, Diddy and his team. And I mean, it was big enough for them to have that type of discussion. But even with those notes, I'm just thinking about, what if those were notes that he eventually want to put in a book, or be like, hey, these are jailhouse notes. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, end up writing stuff in jail and then they end up being like auctioned off or being put in a book, or because those are thoughts that you can't get anywhere else but in jail. Like, what were you thinking during this time? And so those are kind of priceless, you know, notes and thoughts and stuff. If you want to be
Absolutely.
Real about it, I mean, because you can't think that everything that he wrote down was just incriminating or, you know, trying to, you know, do something that he wasn't supposed to do. Man, some of those thoughts could have been his most intimate thoughts. I mean, he may, you know, you don't know what he's thinking. This is a man that has had his freedom taken away from him.
Well, and to your point, his defense attorney, Mark Agnifilio, during the hearing yesterday, held a stack of notepads and folders and other papers that were initially seized from Combs' bunk in his cell, and pointed out that Combs has handwritten the word legal on them. So the defense argued that every page from the stack that was, again, seized initially from, you know, the law enforcement officers in the jail, that is subject to the attorney-client privilege,
mm-hmm.
and that it was a complete institutional failure. And obviously, the judge agreed. And so the prosecutors, they said that self-labeling something legal does not automatically make it subject to the attorney-client privilege, and the government received those materials through a completely appropriate channel. But again, the judge said, nope.
Yeah.
We are no longer going to even entertain handwritten notes by Diddy. Now, to your point, Telly, and I want to get you and Tony's thoughts on this. The judge said that they would no longer consider those handwritten notes or those documents as an example when he decides, and check this out, y'all, whether he's going to release Combs on bail. So there will be another bail hearing this Friday that basically will determine whether or not Combs will be released on bail or not this Friday. What are y'all's thoughts?
Mm.
Yeah, ain't no way he can be released on bail. It's too big of a flight risk. There's no chance he gets released on bail. I can't see it happening.
Yeah. For me, I don't think it will. They will release him because, DT, they said that they are going to kind of sweeten the pot again, like $50 million, and they'll hire a security team at his Miami house to make sure he doesn't get any visitors and that's not on the list or that are approved and things of that nature. But just briefly, going back to this whole raid, DT, like that could have compromised everything. And I'm sure Diddy's attorneys are, you know, trying to stress the same thing. Like, look, you know, this was illegal and this, you know, could have compromised the entire case. And you know, it's crazy, but stuff like that can get cases dismissed at times. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And so but in terms of Diddy ain't getting out. I hate it for him. But, yeah, he going to have to chill until it's time. You know, no, I'm just saying, well, I don't hate it for him like that.
I was going to say,
yeah,
why?
I mean, but, yeah, he ain't going home. I just say that. He ain't going home Friday.
Here's the thing, and I want to hear Tony's reaction as well. I was at a Bucks game last week, and my son and I were sitting next to this brother who was from L.A., but he loves the Bucks, so he flew in. And we got, I don't know how the Diddy subject even came up, but it did. And he was like, I still don't understand why it's illegal to be a freak. He was like, so they found baby oil. So, you know, he's a freak. What does that warrant the type of punishment he's getting? And I said, oh, dear young brother, young grasshopper. Aren't you cute? You understand this man is not in jail for being a freak.
No.
Okay, that's what the government and the Department of Justice, that's what they want us to feel like in terms of making it a rightful cause. This brother is in jail because a partner of which claims that, look here, you little black boy, we helped make you a billionaire and you want to come out and sue our company for racial discrimination? Where's that video from 2016? That's why Diddy's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this country, for you to have the audacity to partner with a liquor company that is targeting black consumers for obvious reasons, which has made you a substantial amount of wealth, and then you turn around and sue us publicly for racial discrimination? Where the video at? That's why Diddy's in jail.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with baby oil. The baby oil is just some aesthetics.
But on the third side of the coin is that video he did was in the video. So
oh, absolutely.
So he is.
But I think it's important to understand that video was recorded 8 years ago.
Oh, 100%. I'm just saying it's not like I don't want to paint the picture like Diddy's innocent. He did what he did, and who knows what else. But you're right. They were just holding it just in case. You know, he did something crazy. Okay, let's see if
he did something crazy.
Right. If he doesn't do anything crazy, when he did, like you said, like now he's suing us. Oh, bro, why you do that? Now we got to release the video.
Yeah.
Now we got to release
the
video.
That's why Diddy's in
jail. You were in line before. Now you're getting out of line. We got to put you back in line, and we got dirt on you. You ain't been an angel. You have not been a saint, and we got the evidence. Let's go ahead and release it.
Yeah.
And see, what makes it problematic for Diddy is that y'all saw what I did. You knew what I did. 3/4 of y'all was helping me do it.
Oh yeah, that should have been a sign right there.
That's where it gets psychologically problematic for Diddy and his family.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from break, our Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017. Do y'all think? And again, do you think Diddy's going to make bail on Friday? Tony says no. I say no. Telly?
Not really. A city girl says a third bail hearing. I think Diddy is going home. Boy.
Okay.
Not really a city girl. I want you on my team.
For hope.
Man, she said Johnny Cochran ain't got nothing on me. DJ Ricky, can we get a live poll during our next break as we come back? Do you feel or do you think or are you confident that Diddy is going to be released on bail during the next bail hearing this Friday. I say absolutely not. Tony says no. What do y'all think? Yes or no? Is Diddy going home on bail this Friday, as he will, again, be in court for a bail hearing? Stay locked in. This is the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. We got our guest co-host Tony Smith in the building, and we will be back.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, did you know that at Old National Bank, they know there is nothing small about keeping up a small business? And that is why Old National Bank has developed their empowerment loan program to help give people of color and women-owned businesses equal access to funds up to $5 million. This substantial commitment shows that Old National Bank truly believes that every small business deserves the opportunity to change their community in a big way. Learn more today by visiting oldnational.com/empowerment loan. Old National Bank, get old. All loans are subject to credit approval. Minimum loan amount, $25,000. Additional program restrictions may apply. And to learn more about how to qualify, please contact an Old National small business banker today. Good morning, Truth Nation. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. DT and Telly in the building, along with guest co-host Tony Smith. This has been a great show. We're keeping it real today.
We are.
I'm all about generational wealth, Telly. But if your age begins with the number 7, even the number 6,
ain't no long
short
game.
Short game versus long game.
It's not even in the same sentence. Long at 68.
Long at 68. Now, before break, we gave you the most recent update regarding the Diddy trial. So yesterday, Diddy, to Telly's point, had a small win. Prosecutors were coming after Diddy based on a raid that took place in Diddy's jail cell, where they found handwritten notes that were marked legal by Diddy, which they claimed were interfering with witnesses, plans to interfere with witnesses, etc. Well, the judge ruled in Diddy's favor and ordered that prosecutors no longer present handwritten documents by Diddy, as it is an attorney-client privilege. Now, another potential win is that Diddy's bail hearing, this will be his third bail hearing, and it is scheduled for this Friday. Do you think, Truth Nation, Diddy is going home this Friday? So far, we've got 8 votes. 62% Telly and Tony say yes. They think that Diddy is going home. 38% say no.
I mean, you can't let somebody with that much money and that many resources out. You can't do it. Too much of a risk.
Yeah, if they didn't let Young Thug out, Young Thug only had about a third of Diddy's wealth. Like Tony said, it's too much. I mean, and there are already rumors that he was trying to contact witnesses on the inside. What you think he gonna do with the outside?
Well, Tony and Telly, we just got 2 more votes. It's now at 10 votes. 70% of our valued Truth Nation listeners say yes. Now, let me reread the question, Truth Nation. Let me reread the question.
You didn't hear what I was saying.
Let me say it one more again. The question is not, do you want Diddy to go home?
Why do you want him
on his next bail hearing? Okay? That's not the question. The question is, do you think that based on everything that we've seen from a documentation standpoint, disposition standpoint, that Diddy and the current judicial system in this country, do you think that Diddy is going home on his next bail hearing? Not do you want, But do you think that he's going to go home? More votes are coming in, y'all. 73%. No, 75% now say yes. 25% say no.
And we even got Benjamin waking up early this morning. Hit us up on our True Talking text line and say, let Diddy go.
See, okay. That's what I'm saying. Do y'all want him to go? That's not the question.
What? Right, that's Benjamin. Not the question. take your feelings out of it. We are talking about, do you think it's going to happen?
Ben just want to invite to the next party if Diddy get out.
That's what it is, yeah.
You ain't going.
Yeah, Ben obviously, his vote was more or less like, let Diddy go. Let him. That's not the question. But no. I appreciate you, Benjamin, for tuning in. Shout out to Benjamin. It's amazing. Look, the question again is, do you think, not do you want, but do you think he's going to go home on bail this Friday?
That's a tough one, DT. No. I mean, because what is different? Now, if they can come in and talk about him being a model citizen and while he's been in jail and things that he's been trying to do, then, you know, they may listen, but at the end of the day, they ain't letting Diddy go. They are not. It's way too much.
If a tape was made that shows Diddy physically, like the way that he beat that young lady in that video,
mm-hmm.
and that video was recorded in 2016, and they put it in their back pocket. And when I say they, you know who I'm talking about. There is a message that this whole case is trying to send to black billionaires, especially men.
Yeah.
Whether you agree or not, that is just the reality.
Yeah, and all those and they understand what the video represents. Obviously, so that incident itself is bad enough. But what that does, it sets up the belief that if he can do that.
Exactly.
Man, what else can he do?
Because you can't.
He can do a whole bunch of other stuff if he can do that.
Yeah, you can't unsee it.
Correct.
And you're always going to think about that. Like, when you
someone
think
says
of,
he did something else, well, I don't know. I like, saw what he did to a girl in the elevator, so
yeah,
I don't doubt it. I put it past it. Him.
Yeah, and
but
another.
You know what, Tony?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Telly.
No, I was just going to say on our YouTube message board, I'm seeing the flutter of people talking about Trump versus Diddy, and I don't know how many times we got to say this on this
Man.
Show, but. In case you haven't noticed, the rules are different. The rules are different if you are a white man versus a black man. I'm sorry.
Diddy should have gotten a race, presidential race. He might have been all right.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I promise you, Tony, if I hear one more black person say, well, what about Harvey Weinstein? What about you are a Negro. They are white. This election just reminded you how this country feels. And it's not about perpetuating, like, I'm not gonna make people make me feel like I'm the victim for saying that. That is exactly what we saw. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And if you're telling me that 93,000 people didn't vote in the state of Wisconsin, if you're telling me that one out of every two white women voted for Trump, and if you're telling me, like, all these statistics, you cannot possibly even question why Diddy's in jail and Trump was just elected to be president of the United States.
Yeah.
Trust me, it bothers me to the core. But, there's things that Tony and Telly, I've learned in this thing called life. I don't put time and energy in things that I don't have control over. Mm. Racism is not going away anytime soon. And so I, as a black person, have to adapt, have to navigate. And have to make sure that I still love myself despite a whole population of people who will smile in my face. We stand with you. But then behind the curtain, do something totally different. And I have to accept that. So yes, I have to accept that this black man is in jail for crimes that are similar to his white male counterparts that just won the highest position in the free world.
Mm-hmm.
That's America.
Welcome. In case you didn't know, this
so
is
please,
America.
Y'all, yeah, please stop with the what about them. And it's not, we have been on this in this country for over 400 years.
Yeah.
400 years. That's a long time to be thinking that something's going to change.
Yeah, so it's not. There's no comparison. Like, that's not even, you shouldn't even think that way because, again, that's just the way it's been and is not going to change. And you are going to have people that are able to get away with things that you can't get away with. That's just what it is. And, you know, again, people talking about, well, Trump didn't see the inside of a cell and this, that, and the other. And he ain't. And he's not. He's not going to see the inside of a cell. As a matter of fact, they just delayed his sentencing. And they haven't given a time on when they are going to sentence him, which I'm sure will either be once he's done being the president or they're just going to dismiss it altogether.
Yeah, people need to just forget about that.
Right. Right.
It ain't happening.
There is a song, and here's the thing. I'm going to tell y'all a very quick story before we go to our next break, Tony and Telly and Truth Nation. In 1984, how many years ago was that? Probably about what? What was that, 40?
Time ago.
Yeah, 40 years ago. There was an artist named Bruce Hornsby.
Yeah, Bruce Hornsby in the range.
And he wrote a song called The Way It Is. That's just the way it is. White guy. Tupac went on to sample that song and made another hit. But the reason why I'm
some things
sharing
will
this
never
story.
Change.
The song The Way It Is, written by a white man, Bruce Hornsby, discusses at the time, 1984, the troubled economy and the race relations resonated in the American public. And it remains Bruce Hornsby's best known song. Do you know why? Because the same race relations and troubled economy that he was talking about in 1986 are relevant in 2024. Ricky, when we come back from break, I want to play this song. This was written by a white man. It was his first number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 in December of 1986. It talks about homelessness. It talks about the American Civil Rights Movement. It talks about institutional racism. And that song is just as relevant as it was then. So please, black people, quit talking about what about? And that's why we got to do a better job educating our young people. Because if you play What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, if you play The Way It Is by Bruce Hornsby, songs that were written 40, 50 years ago, and you play them right now, they are just as relevant, if not even more.
Yeah.
When we come back from break, we're going to get into truth swiping with our guest co-host Tony Smith and Telly Hughes in the building. And we come back. We're going to listen to this song a little bit because I'm telling y'all, that's just the way it is in 1986. It's the same way that it is in 2024. We'll be back.
Don't touch that dial. Truth be told with DT and Telly. We'll be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Good morning. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth, Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Thank you so much for tuning in and getting your hump day started. That's right. It is hump day. November the 20th, 2024. We got guest co-host in the building, Tony Smith. Quick check-in with our poll. Do you think Diddy is going home on his next bail hearing? Oh, it's getting a little different now. Mm-hmm. We got a total of 19 votes. 58% say yes. 42% say no.
Okay. We're going to let that coffee kick in a little more. Give it a little more time.
And again, the question is not, do you want him to go
right.
home?
Wake
that's
up.
That's the difference.
Wake up, now, everybody.
A lot of us, and rightfully so.
Wake up.
We as black people continue to witness injustice. The same crime but different punishments based on both race and gender. In this particular case, a lot of us are saying, wait a minute, you got Harvey Weinstein, you got the Jeffrey Epstein trial, you got Trump, who's had many allegations of misappropriate or sexual harassment allegations, etc. Why is Diddy getting treated like this? And I said, look, I'm tired of us having this conversation. Man. We already know the answer. And we were talking about a particular song that was written in 1984, and it went number one on the Billboard Top 100 charts in 1986 by a man named Bruce Hornsby, who happens to be a white man. Ricky, just give us 10 seconds of this song. I want y'all to hear the relevance of this song, even 40 years later.
Said, hey, little boy, you can't go where the others go.
Why?
You don't look like they do.
What?
Said, hey, old man, how can you stand to think that way? Did you really think about it before you made the rules?
He said. Did you think about it before you made the rules? Yeah, you did.
See what I'm saying, Tony?
He knew exactly what he was doing.
That was written by a white man in 1986. It was about racism, the justice system, etc. And now, fast forward, I think it was maybe 9 years later, Tupac Shakur released the same song, I should say, the same title, using the sample of Bruce Hornsby, and this is Tupac's version.
I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead.
Two different songs, two different genres, two different artists, 10 years apart, still relevant today. So, dear black people, why are you still asking when they told you that's just the way it is? Some things will never change.
Man, come on now.
Knowledge, both of them.
Yeah. And you're asking, like, why is there a difference? And let's put this in perspective if you need to. It is 2024, and you have someone that's been nominated as the attorney general, and there's been an investigation that he has had sex with a 17-year-old multiple times, and he's still being considered. So you think that they're going to look at Diddy and say, oh, you know what? He ain't really do that much. We going to let him out? Man, please. No, it's two different justice systems. We know that. I don't know why we act shocked.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I don't know why we're shocked.
Some things will never change.
Yes. It's two justice systems.
Been knowing this, black people.
Yes.
So with that being the reality, the question is, then what do you do to ensure that your peace is always protected in a society that wants to continuously disrupt your peace? That's the question that we ask as a community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Are y'all ready for some truth swiping?
Let's do it.
Now that I got off my soapbox.
Let's do it.
If somebody at Thanksgiving dinner says, can we talk about why Diddy's in jail and why you know what? No cranberry sauce for you. Get up. Get out.
You go home. Play the long game at home. Yeah.
Give me them rolls. Coming in here with that mess. All right. We're going to bring you some truth swiping. This is actually one of my favorite segments. And because of the election, and rightfully so, we wanted to hear from you. Definitely wanted to hear your thoughts regarding how you're feeling about the election. So now that we're 2 weeks into the outcome of the election, let's go back to some truth swiping and get y'all some motivational information that reminds us that no matter what, even as the beautiful black people that we are, we're gonna still win. So, are y'all ready?
Let's do it.
With the Truth Swiping, DJ Ricky on the ones and twos.
Welcome to Truth Swiping, the game where you swipe right if you agree with the pop culture headline, or swipe left if you give it a complete two thumbs down. DT, Telly, and DJ Ricky, tell us, which way you swiping today?
All right. We got guest co-host Tony Smith in the building. Let's go. Carmelo and Lala Anthony's son, Cayenne. Is it Cayenne or Keon?
No, it's Cayenne. That's right.
Cayenne.
Like the pepper?
Is mm-hmm. following his dad and will be playing at Syracuse University. The four-star prospect ranked the top player in New York and ranked number 34 nationally, chose Syracuse University for its early support and team building efforts. Now, this was announced during an episode of Carmelo's 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast, and Cayenne's decision was celebrated by both proud parents as he continues the family's Syracuse tradition, where his father, Carmelo, won an NCAA championship in 2003.
I am swiping right. I think this is really cool. And by the way, Carmelo has donated a significant amount of money to Syracuse University. So Cayenne is going to be practicing every day at the Carmelo Anthony Gymnasium.
That's what's up.
So I think that is really cool. And how could you pass up an opportunity to do that? At first, you know, you kind of think like, man, I want to make my own way. I want to make my own name. But when your dad is Carmelo Anthony, there's nothing wrong with following in your dad's footsteps. So I'm going to swipe right on that.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe right. I love it. You know, like Telly said, it's going to be cool to play and practice in a facility. But, I mean, you know, it's just cool anyway when your kids are hooping, trying to follow in your footsteps. Like people hating on the Bronny situation, man, get off of Bronny. He's the little kid. Leave him alone. He's falling and chasing his dreams, and y'all mad for why?
Yeah.
Because he's playing with his dad? Like, come on, man. This is beautiful.
I completely agree. We talked about that the other day, Tony. We as black people, we got to do better. Like, well, did Oprah and Beyonce accept money to support Kamala? If they did, let them get their bag.
Yeah.
Let, right. let somebody so call what? Me up and say, hey, you want to get $1 million just to promote Kamala? You know what? Let me shut up. Anywho, I don't know why we don't want to see each other win. Phew. Janelle Bynum has made history as Oregon's first black Congress member, flipping a district blue for the first time in 25 years with support from national Democrats. Her victory highlights her ability to connect with voters as a leader and her commitment to creating a better future for Oregon families. And Bynum emphasized the significance of her achievement, stating, quote, I am proud to be the first, but not the last black member of Congress in Oregon.
No, I'm going to swipe right. And for the sole fact, a black woman in the state of Oregon. That's
right.
They got
black people in Oregon?
I knew he was going to say that. I knew, Tony. I knew he was going to say that. Yes. There are black people
in
Portland.
I don't know.
I know Portland.
I got to check again.
You say Portland, but you don't know.
I've been to Oregon. But, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Portland, this is by sprinkle, because I was just in Portland earlier this year for a speaking engagement.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to swipe right, though. I mean, because it's long overdue, and I'm sure it's been 40 years that, you know, it's been flipped to blue. But more importantly, I guess if nothing else, it does show a sign of hopefully progressiveness that they are willing to take a step forward in doing that in Oregon. So,
yeah, progress. I'm swiping right. Progress, even if it's small, still progress. I don't think this is small. This is significant. So, yeah, you know, I'm with it 100%.
Well, speaking of progress, the state of Alabama also had an historic first. For the first time in history, Alabama will have not one but two black representatives. Terry Sewell and Shamari Figures are going to be serving simultaneously in the U.S. House of Representatives, made possible by the court-ordered redistricting. So Figures won the second congressional district seat in this past election, marking a significant step towards fair representation for black voters. And this milestone follows decades of challenges to black political power in Alabama, including voter suppression and gerrymandering.
Yeah. Going to swipe right again, but I'm going to do it with a little hesitancy because it's a long way to go, especially in the state of Alabama and how red they are. And yeah, man, like, you know, that is great. I mean, but, you know, Alabama definitely has a long way to go.
Yeah, but again, it's something.
It is something. Yeah, it is something.
I got to swipe, right? It's something. It's better than nothing.
All right. Well, here's some more first for you and Telly. Delaware State University announced it will become the first HBCU to establish a Division I women's wrestling program. Mm. And the inaugural season is going to be kicking off in 2025-2026. Now, the initiative is supported by a $1.25 million investment from the HBCU Wrestling Initiative, aligning with the nationwide growth of women's wrestling and aims to create opportunities for young women to excel in sports and leadership.
I'm definitely... go ahead.
No.
No, I was just going to say, I am definitely swiping right. I'm swiping right because of the opportunities. I feel like... You know, regardless if that's your thing, you should have the opportunity to go down that lane if you choose to. And if I'm a female who happens to be a good wrestler, I shouldn't be forced to go to a PWI because no HBCUs have a wrestling team. So I am,
that's a great point.
I am so for it. If that's your thing, you should be able to do both. Participate in the sports you want to and attend an HBCU if that's what you choose to do.
Great point.
I don't think I have anything to add. Telly said it exactly how it should be said. I will only add that I'm not a fan of wrestling. I don't even like men's wrestling because I don't like that wrestler's ear that they get.
Ooh, cauliflower ear.
The cauliflower ear. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of wrestling anyway. Plus, when I was in high school, I just remember the wrestling room was stank. Ugh, stunk in there. So, but
you know,
like Telly said, if that's your thing, that's your thing.
Like, women wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, look, DT, you would be amazed, like, some of these PWIs. Like, Wisconsin has a women's hockey team, a women's wrestling team.
Yeah. Yeah,
they have, like, a bunch of women's sports. And like I said.
Yeah, more power to them. Just not my thing.
You know, but you shouldn't be forced to, you know, if I want to play hockey, I only can go to Wisconsin. You know what I mean? So, I'm with it.
Yeah, I honestly, out of ignorance, I did not know women, that's that women wrestle. And both collegiate. I get the WWE. I get that. I just didn't know that. So that's good to know. Shout out to Delaware State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in not so great news, and I know there are a number of Milwaukeeans that either graduated from Tennessee State University, currently have kids, relatives at TSU. Well, Tennessee State University officials have declared officially that the institution is out of money. Now, this is due to ongoing financial struggles, including an $800,000 payout to former President Glenda Glover, whose leadership has been criticized for mismanagement. And despite receiving over $30 million from the state of Tennessee, TSU has laid off over 100 employees and struggled with reduced enrollment after failing to honor student scholarship commitments. Can you imagine that? Now, the interim president, Ronald Johnson, and state officials are now focused on restructuring with suggestions, including selling parts of the Nashville campus to stabilize the university's finances. So, again, Tennessee State University, HBCU, also known as TSU. I'm so glad I go to TSU, has no money.
Look, let me tell you, I'm swiping left because I truly feel like with MPS, there's just a lot of probably misappropriation of funds because when we talked about this about a year ago, DT, when DEI was, you know, people were trying to get rid of it, HBCU's enrollment went up and TSU was one of those ones that had so many in new incoming students that they ain't even have enough dorms for them. And so that means to me that you got some money from the government and apparently you just didn't allocate it the way that you were supposed to. So, yeah, I'm swiping left. And that's a shame because, you know, that was that's a golden opportunity to get ahead and you want to do whatever you want to do with it.
Maybe they gave too much money to Eddie George, the football coach over there. So now they're I don't know what they're doing. But, yeah, this for school to be out of money seems crazy to me. I mean, something.
Well, I'm sure we'll have more developments. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have more developments as they occur. We got to take a break and come back and give you our truth of the matter.
Wow.
You are listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth be told with DT and Telly, guest co-host Tony Smith in the building. Again, we come back. We're going to give you our truth of the matter. And just really quick update, 26 votes. Do you think Diddy is going home on his next bail hearing? Now it's neck and neck. We've heard that before. 50% are saying yes. 50% are saying no. When we come back, our truth of the matter, followed by 9 more hours of live consecutive Black Talk Radio. Stay locked in.
You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
And thank you so much for making this day another great day. We appreciate you so very much. My truth of the matter is simply this. Thanksgiving is next week. A lot of us are going to be preparing, you know, getting our travel arrangements. Word to the wise, be patient when you go to the airport. Yeah. Be patient when you go to the airport. And we all know that some of those TSA folks, they scream, they yell, they talk at you. Get your mind right. If you're going to be traveling via air at an airport, some of y'all might have private jets. Some of y'all might be riding in that G7. I'm not mad. But if you're going through an airport, get your mind right. Be patient. Don't get frustrated. I do this every day, and I have to literally tell myself to just get to the promised land, the destination. Focus on that.
I'm going to go, listen, they passed a law in 64 to give those who ain't got a little more, but it only goes so far. You can't change another's mind when all they see in the hiring line is the color bar.
Mm.
That's just the way it is, y'all.
I was about to say, you ain't come up with that. But no, that's a great lyric. No, great lyrics, though. No, for real, because it still applies today. And real quickly, for my truth of the matter, run your own race and stop looking on the left side of you and right side of you and seeing what other people are doing. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what others are doing. It matters what you're doing. Run your own race. That is my truth of the matter.
I love it. Run your own race, y'all. And remember, that's just the way it is. Now, we've got 9 more hours of live Milwaukee Black Talk Radio. Kicking us off, Professor Sherwin Hughes. I know he's going to be dropping some bars for us. Make it a great day. Tell somebody you love them. We love you. And Lord willing, we will see and hear y'all tomorrow. Have a great day.
Peace out.